Yeah. Okay, we are picking up on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We are the four lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3. Five lines from the bottom. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Yes, I am. I got it tonight. Thank you very much. I'm Rabbi, because two people asked me to send it to them already. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Pnei ha'ir, I didn't get on there that my brother is very big. I didn't say that on the recording, did I? Well, too late. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Pnei ha'ir shehachul l'acharas. If you have people from one city that went to another city, they went to visit for whatever reason. Upaska alayhem tzedakah. And then while they were there, the other city took up some collection for tzedakah. So upaska alayhem tzedakah. So notion they are obligated to give money to that campaign to raise money for the tzedakah. Ukashem bayin. And when they return, when they're ready to go home, so then they're able to go. I'm sorry. When they come back, Mavino, Son, Imran, they're able to take the money back with them. And then they're able to say that they take back the money they're given to the fundraising effort, and they say, we want to take the money back. They go back to their city, and they use that money to help pay for the poor people in their town. Tananami Hachi, Bnei Ir, Shahachal Ir Acharez, if you have people from one city that went to another one, Upaskole and Tzedakah, and then they had, again, they told people that they should give Tzedakah. No sin, you have to give. But if you have an individual who went to another city, and then they said to him that he has to give tzedakah, then he only can give it to that city. When he's leaving, he can't say to them, I want my money back so I can give it to the anim of another city. We're like two lines from the bottom of Chazayin Amud Aleph. He can't say to them, I want to take the money back. It's only if a group comes to visit another city, they could say, we want to take the money back, and we're going to go give the money to the poor people of our city. But if an individual comes, he cannot say to them when he's leaving, give me my money back, and I'll take care of the people in my city. It stays with the city that he was visiting. And we got a story that we got something that says that. Rav Huna Gozer Tanisa. Rav Huna was Gozer Tanis in those days because it was not raining. So Alagabe, Rav Chanani Bar Chanilai, V'chal B'nei Ma'aseh. So Rav Chanani Bar Chanilai and all the people of his town came to Rav Huna to take part in the fast. Roma Alu Tzedakah, and they collected tzedakah for the fast, because again, the main purpose of a fast is not to fast. It's really to do the davening and to give tzedakah, and that's what solves the crisis. So they had this levy that they made to give tzedakah. V'yavu, they gave money. Kibolu Mitzvah, when they were getting ready to leave, Amrulei, Nosfa Lamar V'nezel, give us back our money, and we're going to go back, and we'll give the money to the people. Ufarnes B'nei Yaniyah B'nasin, we'll give the money to the people in our city. So Amr Lahus, Rav Huna said, Tanina, we learned, B'med, V'amr Muhammad, do you say that they're able to take the money back? Returning to Chav Zayin Mabez, only if there isn't someone who's like a Chavir Ira, meaning like a Talmud Chacham who's in charge of the whole fund. Aval Yesham Chavir Ira, but if you do have someone who's in charge in that visiting city, who's the Talmud Chacham, who's in charge of the money, so Tinas and Lachavir Ira, you give it to him. The Chalshakain da Anani Didi with Didaichu Alais Michin. For sure, in your situation, because the city that you're coming from, all the poor people in your city also rely on me, Rav Huna, to give out money. I don't just give out money locally, I'm giving it out regionally. So therefore, you're not entitled to get the money back. Keep it with me, and I'll give the money out to the people as I see fit. Okay, next Mishnah. Ein mochrin es shel rabim liyachid. You're not able to sell a shul that was being used for a rabim. You cannot sell it to an individual who wanted to buy the shul. Imnei shamrida under sub mikdushas, because you're taking it down from the level of kedusha. Remember, we had this concept, malam bekodesh ve'ema reading. You can only go up in holiness and not down. So the Gemara is going to explain what the argument is, but because Rav Meir is going to argue, but Adir Rav Meir, let's see. So Amr Lo, so Chacham said, Im kain, so Dir Rav Meir, Amr Lo, the Chacham said, Im kain, af lo mi'ir gedola l'ir ketana, you're not able to take it from a big city to a small city, because you're going to have less people than you did in the big city. So the Gemara is going to explain what the source of their machlokas is. So Shaper Kramali Rabban and Rav Meir, they said good to him. They said that they were answering a good question when they said, you can't even sell from a large shul to a small shul. How do you get away with that? So they answered, when you had a big shul and you went to a small shul. So they say that there was a kedusha. Once you had more, the shechina's there because you had more than 10 people. So you had kedusha, whether it was a large shul. You have kedusha still there, even if it's a small shul. But when you take it from a rabbim, and then you have an individual buying it, and he wants to use the shul for his own purpose, he's not going to have minyanim going on there, like a kedusha. Then you don't have kedusha, because without 10, the shechina does not come there. Rabbanan, so what did Rabbanan say? So they say, ikal mechash, ki hai gavna nam ikal mechash, mishum derov amadus melech. He says, because no, then you're going to, It's always, there's a concept of Rovam Hadris Melech does play out to mean something. So again, so to go from one to the other, we say that you could do it, but that's only going to be if you're still going to have some sort of kedusha that's going to be over there. But again, to go from a group to an individual, then we say you're not able to do it. Okay, next Mishnah. Emrochem Mesa Knesses, you're not able to sell a shul, Ela Al Tanai, only with the condition, Shem Yirtzu Yachziru, that if the people who sold the shul want, that they're able to buy the shul back. So it's sold with some sort of caveat. Dear Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim Omrim, Mochonoso, Mimkar Olam, that you're able to sell it. There's no limits that's placed on the sale. You do the sale, and that's the end of it, and you can't get the people who sold it are not able to get the shul back. Chutz Ma'arbet Varma, you're not able to sell the shul for one. You cannot sell it. It has to be written into the contract that it will not be used for the following four things. What are they? Lemerchatz, it can't be used for a bathhouse. Leborski, or for some sort of tanning house. Tefillah, for a mikvah. Lebeis HaMayim, or for a laundry, because those are things that. It's just derogatory. So to say you're going to go from a shul to one of these things over here, you're not able to do that. So that there are limits to what you could sell it for. And Rabbi Yehuda, argues, and he says, no, you sell it as a courtyard. Whatever the person who buys it wants to use it for, he wants to use it for a bathhouse, he wants to use it for a mikvah, he wants to use it for anything he wants, he's able to use it for. The Gemara is going to show what that means. So Rabbi Meir, so Gemara says, hey, Chidari Bey, how can you say that the people are, because again, Rabbi Meir said that the only way you could sell it is that I sell the shul to you, and then I say, but on the condition that if I want, I can take the shul back whenever I want. I can undo the sale. So let's say I sell the shul to you, and a year later I decide I want to take the shul back. So you give me back the shul. You give me back the money. So Rabbi Meir, hey Chidari, how can they live there? Ha-havi ribbis. It's going to be ribbis, because what's going to happen? I bought the shul from you, so I'm living there now for a year. Then after a year, you decide, you know what, I want to buy the shul back from you. I don't like the sale taking place. So you take the shul back. It turns out then that I lived in that building, for a year rent-free, which means that the loan that I gave you, because it was not a sale, it was a loan. I gave it to you for a year, then you returned it to me. So it means that I was living in the building rent-free. That's ribbis. So how can you do it, which is interest? You're not able to have interest on a loan. So how can you do the interest? So Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ramer b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra." He said it according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar tzad echam ribis mutter. That if there's only one side of ribis that is mutter, what that means is that normally ribis is usur, where I lend you money and I charge you interest. So you're paying interest and I'm collecting. You are paying interest and I am collecting interest. But if there's one tzad echam ribis means that it's I am living in the city. I'm living here right now. It could be that there's going to be. That the sale is going to be taken back. It could be that it's not going to be taken back. That's considered tzad echa b'ribbis. It's not a definite that ribbis is going to be taking place. So therefore, you're able to do, according to Rabbi, you're able to do that. The Tanya, where do we see that? Let's say someone was telling his friend that he owed him money and he wanted him to give it to him. So in order to stop him from bugging him, so the creditor gave the person who was moneying him, he gave him his field to hold on to. So if the person who sold it, meaning the person who owed the money, if he's still able to eat the produce of that field during the time that the transaction is taking place, mutter, then you're able to do it. But if the person who bought it from him, right, I lent you money, and in the meantime, you gave me your field, so I am eating the fruits of your field, so then... And if I'm eating the fruits, also they're not allowed to. Why? Because that's going to be the concept of ribbis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's fine. Why? Because I feel okay, achol chaperos, even if I'm eating the fruits, mutter, it's still, you're still able to eat it. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said furthermore, ma'isa b'baisus ben zunan, Sha'aso sedeo mecha, that he sold his field. Alpi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, lokeach ocha peres hayin, the person who bought it was eating the fruits. So so you see from there, because tzadach ribis is still going to be good, because it's not a definite that I'm charging you ribis by eating the fruits, because it could be that this is going to be a very legitimate sale, and then there's nothing wrong with me eating the fruits. So he said to him, Amrullah, they said to him, Misham, right, that's a proof. Mocher ocha peres hayin lolokeach, you got the story wrong. It wasn't talking about that the person who sold it was eating the fruits. We're talking about that the person who bought it was the one that was eating the fruits. So that's not going to be ribbis. He was eating his own stuff. So therefore, that's not going to be a problem of interest. So my benayah. So what is this whole argument about? Tzadach abiribis, yikav benayah. This concept where you're going to have interest only on one side is an argument. Is going to be the argument. Mar sover tzadach abiribis mutter, that one says that if you have tzarech beribis, that it's going to be mutter. Umar sabar tzarech beribis aser, that it's aser. Rava amar dekuli amal tzarech beribis aser. Everyone agrees that even if there's a concept of tzarech beribis, that it may or may not be ribis, everyone says you're not able to do it, and therefore you shouldn't be able to eat the fruits. V'hacha ribis amanas lahachzir gubanar. They're arguing about something else, where you have interest. Let's say it is being interest that's being charged, but you're going to return the interest to him at the end. You're going to give the money back to him. So Mar Savar, Ribis Amanas Lahachzir Motor, one says that it's not a problem because since you're returning it, it's not, in the end, it turns out it wasn't interest. Umar Savar, Asr, another one says that it's Asr, the Rabbanan say it's Asr, because the bottom line is that while this is going on, this was Ribis that you were charging and you're not able to do it. Okay, next part of the Mishnah said, Chachamim Omrim, Merchon Osom Him Karom, that when you sell it, remember, one said that you're not able to sell it, it has to be conditional, that they could buy it back if they want. The Chachamim said that no, that they could sell it, and they could say that you could buy it forever. So I'm Rabbi Ramar Shmuel. Mutter la'adam lahashtin mayim besochta al-damos shalt feel it. A person is able to urinate within dal-damos from where he's davening. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Ma'akamashmuel, what are you teaching this? We already learned it. Tanina, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Merchon Osom with Shum Chach, that you're able to sell it for a field, lokeh. Like we just said in our Mishnah, that the person can sell a shul, and whatever the buyer wants to do with it, he could do with it. So you see that it means even if he wants to urinate in the chatzar, he's able to do it. And even according to Rabbanon, who say that you're not able to use it as a place where you can go to the bathroom, that was only talking about for a Beis HaKnesses to via Kedushase, because that already had permanent Kedusha that was there, so therefore you're not able to use it for something mundane afterwards. Avol Dalet Amos, but to go within the Dalet Amos of that, which is not a problem, the Lo Kviya Kedushasayu, Lo, that wouldn't be a problem to do it. Tani comment to Rab Nachman, Hamispalo, Markadan Samashin, that if a person was davening, he should distance 4 amos from where he was if he has to go to the bathroom. Vamashin, Markadan Amos Samispalo, and someone who is, he should go 4 amos and then he should start davening. So Amar Leis said to him, Bishlam Hamashin Marchik Dalet Amos Mispalo. It makes sense if you say that someone who had to go to the bathroom should then move 4 amos away from there and then he can daven. Tanina Kamiyachik Mehenu Minatsoa Dalet Amos, because we learned that how far are you supposed to go after you go to the bathroom? How far do you have to move away from there so that it's not? Remember, if we did this in brachos, because then it's not going to be a problem that you're not able to daven within 4 amos of the urine. But Elohim Espalo Marchik Dalet Amos Umashim. But if you're going to say that a person who was davening that he should go 4 amos away and then he should go to the bathroom there, Lomeli, why does he have to do that? Why does he have to move away from where he was davening? Let him daven where he's davening, and then afterwards he goes to the bathroom wherever he has to go to the bathroom. Ihachi Kedeshtinu Lekula Shvili Denahardah. Because if that's the case, then if you're going to say that wherever someone daven, that place maintains holiness forever, that then it's going to turn out that in Nahardah, which is just the city he was talking about, everyone at some point or another, they're saying, was davening at some point in Nahardai. So how could you say that you could ever go to the bathroom there? If you're saying they always have to move 4 amos away from where they were davening, then there's never going to be 4 amos that you have that's not where someone was at one point davening. Gemara says, so that can't be what we're talking about. So therefore he says, Tani Yisha, so it has to be talking about that he should, not that he should walk away to urinate, it means he should wait to urinate until he's gone the distance of Dalet Amos. If we're talking about that he had to urinate, he should wait for it as long as it takes to go for Dalet Amos, because we're afraid that perhaps after he finished going to the bathroom, he still had drops that were coming, so that, again, he shouldn't be davening until he's waited the time that it goes to go for Amos. But why do you have to say, someone who is davening, why do you say that he has to wait to daven, he has to wait to go to the bathroom to walk Dalet Amos? There's no tzitzos there yet. He didn't do anything. So if he didn't do anything, what's the problem? My answer is, I'm Rav Ashi, should call Dalet Amos, we lost the Siddur B'Fi, because the whole time that a person's walking, Rechushim Rachshon Shvah, say that even when a person finishes davening, like if you're walking out of shul, you finish saying Aleinu, your mind is still in davening. You're still saying those words in your mind, maybe your lips are still moving, even if you finish davening. So therefore we're saying, wait until the distance, the time that it goes, Dalet Amos, before you start going to the bathroom, because your lips or your mind are still involved with davening. Okay, so once we were talking about the concept of urinating, so the Gemara is now going to go into the concept of how we found that people were able to live for a long time. Why were they zocha to it? And the first one's going to be about urination. Okay, so Shalom Talmidim Es Rab Zakeh. So the Talmidim Es Rab Zakeh. Why were you Zocha to live a long time? So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Yamelo Hishtanti Mayim Besoch Tal Ramos Shel Tefillah. In all my years, I never urinated within 4 amos of davening. Velo Kinisi Shem L'Chaverin. I never gave a nickname to my friend, even if it was a complimentary nickname. I didn't give a nickname to my friend. Velo Bitalti Kiddush Hayom. And I never was Mevatel saying Kiddush on Shabbos day. So what is, and where do we see that? Because Ima Zakena Ha'is. I had an elderly mother. Pam achas machra kippa shebarosha. She sold. She was wearing some sort of cap. She was wearing a veil that she had on her head. Vehavia li kiddush hayom, and she brought me kiddush. She brought me wine so I could make kiddush. So because he cherished it so much, she saw how much he cherished it that she even sold her head covering in order for him to make kiddush. Tana kishmesa when he died. When he died, so hinichalo gimelmeos garve yayin. When his mother died, she left him 300 barrels of wine. And kishemezhu hiniach levanav shloshas halafim garve yayin. He left over 3,000 barrels of wine. And the schus of him making kiddush always on wine, because he really couldn't make kiddush on bread. He could have really gone to someone's house and said, can you please be yod to me with kiddush? But because he was always makbid to always do the mitzvah, to say kiddush, so therefore he was zochah that this was like a special mitzvah for him, and he was able to live a long time, and then he was zochah to pass on to his children lots of barrels of wine. Rav Huna Hava Aser Ritzah V'Kokami D'Rav. Rav Huna was wearing a belt that was made out of it was made out of grass or different branches or bushes. So Amar Leh said, "My high, what kind of belt are you wearing? Like, is this the latest that they're selling on Amazon, like a grass belt? Where'd you get it from?" So Amar Leh said, "Lo Havli Kiddush. I didn't have wine to make Kiddush. U'Mishkante Lehamnai. So therefore, I took my belt and I sold it. I sold the belt so I could get money. So V'Asi V'Kiddush, and I was able to make Kiddush with it." So Amar Leh, so Rav said to him, Yehei Rava, the Titum Bisrai, because you appreciated so much and you sold your, I guess the belt was made of silk, he said, so because you sold this belt made of silk, I give you a bracha that you should be covered in silk, that you should have so much silk. Ki ichlal Rava Brei, when Rav Huna's son was getting married, Rav Huna inish tsugahava, he was very short, gana apurya, and he was lying on the bed, and he didn't have any covering when he was sleeping. So asyam benaseh v'kalaseh, so his daughters and his daughter-in-laws came in, shalchan v'shad yam enayi walayin, and they threw all their silk garments that they had, they threw it on him so it would be covered with him. So you see, ad the itum bisrai, until he was completely covered in silk, so you see that the bracha was makoyim. Shama Rav Ikvitz, so Rav heard this, and he got upset, and he said, Amar, my time alo Amar li, why didn't you say v'chein lamar when I said to you the bracha? Because that way, I guess it's also similar, like that there's going to be some sort of wealth that was going to be coming his way. Why didn't you say v'chein lamar when I gave you the bracha? Shalom atzimu rabbi Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. V'ma rachti amar b'zoch to live a long time. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, v'yamai lo asisi kapandri al beis haknesses. I never used the shul as a shortcut. V'lo pa'asti al roshi am kodesh. And I never stepped over people, because in those days when they would go to give the shir, the people were all sitting on the floor, on the ground, or on low benches. So when he would go to the podium to be able to give the shir, he didn't walk over them. He'd always make sure that he was walking like to the side of them, so he shouldn't be, because it's not proper for someone to walk over the Bnei Yisrael. V'lona sasi kapai below bracha, and I never duchened without making a bracha. Shalom tell me to us Rab Freida. B'mar rachti amar b'zoch to live a long time. Our Lama said to them, "Yamei lo kadamni ish lebeis medrash," because no one ever beat me into the beis medrash. V'lo b'rachti lufnei kohen, and I never said I never benched whenever there was a kohen there, even though I was a chashva person, but the kohen was always the one that benched. I'm sorry, turning to Chav Chesamad Aleph. V'lo achalti mebehema shlo hormu matnosen. I never ate meat from an animal where they had not already set aside the matanas that were supposed to be given to a kohen. We will stop here. Okay, we'll stop here. We are going to pick up again. I mean, ideally, I'm ready to start going again.